Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's just it's amazing to me how the Lord works. When Brother Wayne called and or contacted me to let me know that you all were inviting me to come and be one of your speakers this year at the Bible Institute, I was thankful for that. And immediately the Lord gave me this message that I should preach it. There's messages that come about, and I imagine it may be so with other of the brethren, preacher brethren, that you get, sometimes the Lord gives messages that it's, as I call, a circuit message, kind of in the line of the circuit riding preachers. No doubt those fellas, being men as they were and having different flocks that they would minister to, they might preach the same message on a given day, possibly, that'd be a possibility. Or at different times preach different messages depending on the situation of the church and such. And this is one of those messages that the Lord's given me, in that when I have the opportunity to go to churches and preach for them, the Lord did it while I was here with a couple of messages that He gave me, and when I would go and supply preach at different churches where I was invited, it was a message that the Lord just said, put that message out there. And so this is one of those messages. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10, let's pick it up. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day, Your blessings, Your goodness towards us. And we pray, Father, that You would help us, that we, as we look into Your Word, that we'd see these things that You have for us in Your Word. Lord, that we'd hear You. And Lord, that we believe You in what You say. And Lord, that we trust You in it. And Lord, that You would help us, that we might take Your Word and the things that You tell us in Your Word and apply it to our lives. Lord, that we might live for You, that we might be found faithful children, pleasing unto You, and looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And Lord, we'll be united with God Almighty through the Son forever. And Lord, we'll be given that new body. And Lord, we'll partake of those things that You have in store for us. Help now, we pray, and bless. And Lord, help us to see how we might live for You. For those that are here tonight and not saved, Lord, we pray that You might visit them and speak to them and save their souls. Help us to be a good witness to them and the means that You would use. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for His sake. Amen. Here, the apostle writes to this church at Corinth, a Gentile church, a church there in Greece, in the city of Corinth, and he's writing to them, and there's issues at Corinth because the church there is made up of people. And they have baggage, and they have things that they've gone through, experience, the way they were raised up, things that they were off into, as the apostle writes to them. And he's looking to help them, looking to direct them and steer them in the way that they should walk and the way that they should serve. And he talks here to them about his building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, being an apostle, he had a responsibility amongst the churches in the work that apostles had, laying that foundation of the doctrine about the operation and working in the church, the service of the Lord in His churches. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, because as it is with any man, as it is with any member of a church, as it is with any pastor of a church, we are going to die and move on. One day, and the Lord tarries His coming, all of us are going to die, and there's going to be somebody else, I trust, sitting here worshiping the Lord when it's time to come and worship. Amen? And so it's going to be that way, but we have our time. Okay? I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. How are you building on the foundation? How are you building on the foundation? Brother Paul's messages that the Lord has given him about not just living life, but serving the Lord. The Lord blessed Brother Billy about devotion and how we need to take that with us. Don't compartmentalize our lives. Oh, it's such a blessing how these messages have fit together about our work. He preached the other night because we live before the Lord every moment of our lives. And we're building something, folks. And that's mainly that these things the apostle's talking to the church about. But we want to take and look at the house of our lives as the children of God. Okay? There's three houses that are indicated in the scripture that we build. The house of our lives, the house of our families, and the house of the church. We all have those, each of those houses that we're working in and building in. But in the house of our life, how are we, how are you, how are ye, if you will, building on the foundation? It goes on to say here, here in verse 10, we read, "But let every man take heed," pay attention to it, be diligent about it, "how he buildeth thereon." Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is that foundation. He is the foundation that was ordained of God in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over here real quick. We'll read this. Scriptures that you're familiar with, I trust. But we want to just renew these and put them in this context. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. "I know you're tired. I know you're weary. It's a good time, but these old bodies suffer from it. I know, but concentrate, hang in here, and let the Lord speak to us in this." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, the scripture says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." There's a household, okay, a building. "And ye are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets," their doctrine, what they taught, what they received of the Lord to pass on to us in the scriptures, in their ministries, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief corner. "In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." They're speaking about that building that we do in the church. That is true. Verse 1 Peter chapter 2. Take a look over here, though. Because our foundation in these three buildings that we build, the house of ourselves, our lives, the house of our family, the house of the church, that foundation is not different. There's not a different foundation for each, is there? No, all the foundations are the same. They're all Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." And here it's taking it and making it personal. Down into He, you and me. We've trusted in the Lord. The Lord's visited us. He's brought His Word to us. He saved our souls. And in that salvation, there's been a foundation that's been laid in Jesus Christ. Salvation is the starting point, isn't it? For service for the Lord. Salvation in Jesus Christ being our foundation is the beginning of living, isn't it? It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of everlasting life. And so this foundation is laid indeed. Now back, keep your place over in 1 Corinthians 3, because we're going to be going back and forth, tying in some other scriptures here. Verse number 12 of chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 12. I'm sorry, verse 1. I'm verse 11. Let's read this again. "For other foundation can no man lay then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Okay, so a confirmation of that. Verse 12. "Now if any man buildeth upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Here's some building materials. Some building materials that we've been shown. On one hand, we have gold, silver, precious stones. On the other hand, we have wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the building materials. There are no other building materials, okay? Understand, because that's the building materials there are. Gold, silver, precious stones. These building materials will endure, won't they? These building materials, they can be refined, okay? They cannot be destroyed, okay, from the context and the application sense. But what do we do with wood, hay, and stubble? Well, we can build with it, can't we? But what does fire do to it? Yeah, it burns it up, doesn't it? And it's going to tell us about that. What does fire do to gold? It refines it, doesn't it? What's it do to silver? It refines it, doesn't it? What's it do to precious stones? They are durable in it. And so we see here that the building material is made evident. Okay? Verse 13. Every man's work. Now it's gotten personal, hadn't it? It's got down to men, women, boys and girls that are saved by the Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That word manifest means shown forth. The example that I like to give is when you have a load on a tractor trailer, on a truck that's in the box, you can't even see the load that's in there. But when you go and look at the manifest, it tells you what's in the truck. It'll be shown forth. It tells what it is. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, whatever day that is, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Okay, this work is going to be shown. It's going to be revealed by fire at that day. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So here we see a foundation, building materials, and then a revealing of this work, this building that's being done. And it's been brought down here personal to us. Man, woman, boy, or girl. That is saved, and we're speaking namely to the saved tonight. In Romans 14:10, I'll read this to you. You can write it down, turn there if you like. But why dost thou judge thy brother, the Scripture says, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us, not collectively, but individually, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't fear the judgment of the saved from the standpoint of facing whether eternal doom or eternal blessing is in the balance. Because we being saved, we're secure in Christ. We're secure in Christ. But there is a judgment yet that we need to be aware of, that we need to have a mind about, that we prepare ourselves for in the right way. The things that Brother Billy and Brother Paul have preached about are really, they're issues of the heart, aren't they? They're getting down inside in our soul. I believe when the Scripture's talking about our heart, our soul, us, you, what makes you you, your name, your soul, your address, that's what the Lord wants. He has that by virtue of salvation, but He also wants our hearts from the standpoint of the trichotomy that we're built in, body, soul, and spirit. He wants all of us serving Him all of the time, representing Him all the time, living for Him all the time, looking forward to go be with Him for eternity. And as the brother said, don't compartmentalize it, because it's all the Lord's. Our entire life is indeed the Lord's. We're going to stand there. Verse number 12. There in Romans, it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay? So it's you. I can't stand there for you. You won't be able to stand there for me. I won't be able to blame you. You won't be able to blame me. We'll stand there, yet as saved children, and we'll stand there before the Lord. And we need to remember that. That's the measure and the fear that we have from our Lord. And I mentioned the other night in preaching about the gospel, not a fear of terror from the standpoint of destruction, I trust. That's the way the sinner is. You that are here tonight and not saved, you need to fear God, because your eternity, if you go out into eternity right now the way you are, you're heading for a devil's hell forever. And that ought to make you afraid. Now, I can't make you afraid enough for you to be saved. The Lord is to do that. But you need to fear, because that's where you stand. Your life goes out, your life stops, your heart quits beating, your mind quits working, your lungs quit breathing, your blood quits pumping. And in eternity you go, and it is forever, and it is to be feared. That's the reason the Lord has told us the truth about it. But we that have been saved, we don't fear the Lord from the standpoint of eternal condemnation, but it's a reverential fear, isn't it? A Father that loves us, that gives us and bids us to serve Him. And when He gives us instruction, He's not giving us hints. He's telling us what He wants to do. And you know what? What He tells us to do, not one bit of it is bad for us, is it? Not one bit of it. Not one bit of it is bad for us, but it's all for our good. Now, it may be hard on the skin. It may be hard on the skin, but in the big picture, the way the Lord sees things, it'll be good for us, won't it? And so we'll stand before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. Again, affirmation of this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Speaking to who? Church at Corinth. Saved people. Church of Corinth, that's the judgment seat of Christ. It's relative to those that are the Lord's, His children. That every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And he goes on to say, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hey, he's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, there is that element of persuading men that they need to be saved. But here he's speaking to the church. Straighten up. Be restored. Serve the Lord. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, shown forth to God, open and honest before God. And I trust also, are made manifest in your consciences. He says, I want you to believe it too. I want you to believe it from God also. I do. He's blessed me to see it, the apostle says, and I want you to see it too. That it's a reality, not a fairy tale. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, turn over here, and these are some scriptures we just want to tie in, and the Lord speaking to we that are saved, and about how our judgment is and will be. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26, this is speaking to the saved. I believe it's the Apostle Paul, it seems, that is writing to these Jews. They're saved. The context of the Scripture is always that those that are written to in the New Testament, the context always is that they're children of God, having been saved by God in His church. Okay? That's the context of the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't know about or does not instruct about people being saved and being away from the church. It's not the church that saves. There's no priesthood of the church doctrine that's evidenced or shown in the Scripture. But salvation's of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He calls them to service, and that's the purpose for baptism, to show the death burial and, or the burial and the resurrection of Christ, that you need that. You identify with Christ in it. You needed Him to do that for you. You show the world by virtue of baptism that He's done that for you, and by that you join His church to serve Him on from there. That's the pattern, and that's the way. And so as we look at Hebrews, even though it's written to Jews, there's much here for us, and the context is that these people are to be serving the Lord in His churches. See, if I understand it, after the days of the apostles, or towards the ending days of the apostles, and then the apostle Paul, what was one of the things that came back to Jerusalem that the Judaizers wanted to do? You had to be circumcised to be saved. See, it came back in. And that's what this book about Hebrews is about. It's a commentary on the Old Testament, explaining and telling the Jews how Christ is the answer to it all. Okay, that's what it's about. So Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, as the children of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. It's not talking about sinners burning in hell. It's talking about us standing there, me standing there before the Lord, having as His child, in the time that He saved me, from the time He saved me and my service on till He took me out of here, however He did so, or His return, that I went ahead and sinned willfully against Him, knowing what the truth was, and I'll stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and will bear the fiery righteousness of God. See, when God turns loose of His righteousness, His holiness, He is a consuming fire. As His children, we'll be given a body that will endure such. But if an adversary's there, it would consume them. If Satan would be there, that it would consume. If a sinner condemned, having rejected Christ, and heading towards hell, appearing at the great white throne judgment of God, if they would appear at this judgment, they would be consumed. We will be refined. Okay? That's what it's talking about. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, verse 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And so we see here that there is this fiery aspect of our judgment, this refining, I believe, that's indicated there. And when we take a look at this fiery indignation, if we take a look at that in the Greek, it's talking about the jealousy of God. We're children. To be representative of the Lord, we can't be representative of the Lord by sinning. We're only representative of the Lord by pursuing holiness, righteousness, doing it the way the Lord Jesus Christ would do things and live life. That's the way that it would be. And in respect to this jealousy, listen to what the Lord says, and He tells Israel in Exodus 20, verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, false gods, graven images, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Don't want to serve the Lord His way? It's enmity, it's hatred towards God, and God hates it. And He won't let us children get by with it. He won't do it. In idolatry, we're warned in the New Testament much. Now, many times, idolatry is mentioned to us. Little children, flee from idols. Well, Jim, I don't have any graven image in my house, right? But maybe you've got someone that you put between you and the Lord. Maybe you've got something you do, something I do that I put between myself and the Lord. Maybe I've got some possession that my care of that, pursuit of that, maybe I've got some hobby, something that I take and I put between me and God. Those things in and of themselves aren't wicked. Now trust me, you haven't grabbed a hold of something that's wicked. But he's taken anything, whether in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it, but if I take it and I put it in the wrong place and it gets between me and the Lord, it's become an idol. You've got to watch out for that. If I take my will and pursue it rather than the will of the Lord, I've taken my will and it's become my idol. Okay? And so we need to see that. And the Lord says He's jealous over us. Exodus 34:14, For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous. That's one of His names, capital J, is a jealous God. He's jealous over us. Why? He bought us with a price. We're His. He loves us. He loves us. He's jealous over us indeed. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And God's no different. The Lord's no different now than He was then. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's manifested Himself more, isn't He? Look how great God is. A jealous, consuming fire He is. A Spirit He is. Jesus Christ He is. And what more is there of Himself that He'll reveal to us in eternity? Amen? I mean, He's great. He's mighty. He's not a man. And then we so quickly bring Him down to our level. It's that way. In Deuteronomy 5:9, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Again, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Deuteronomy 6:15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You know, there's scriptures in the New Testament that talks about the Lord dealt with this church here at Corinth because of their lack of discernment of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the observance of the Lord's Supper. Many were weak, sickly, and dead. Why? They didn't discern the Lord's body in the supper. A lack of discernment about the purpose of the Lord's body. Either denying that it took the body to bring salvation, or not reckoning that it was necessary. Okay? Either denying it or misunderstanding, if you will, the purpose of the Lord's body being sacrificed. In Joshua 24:19, and Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." And Israel went on to say, "No, we're going to serve Him." Joshua challenges the people there. This is the place where Joshua says, "That's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And the people say, and he said, and Joshua challenges them, said, "In the shape that you're in, and shape that you're pursuing, you're not going to serve the Lord." And they said, "No, we will. We'll hear Him. We'll believe Him." And Joshua says, "Okay." And made a covenant that day. And put up a stone there to remind them. And what's the scripture go on to say? The days of Joshua and the days of those elders that outlived Joshua, Israel served the Lord. But then the generations to come, they forgot. And so the Lord is indeed a jealous God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's a jealous God over His people. And He desires good, right things for us. Never anything that will harm us. But He does expect us to serve Him well in every aspect of life. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. This work is going to be revealed and declared by fire, right? Verse 13. Verse 14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, on the foundation," what's it say? "He shall have a reward." Okay? Building. Building on the foundation. Tried by fire. Anything left? A reward. Okay? Our reward is not eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and with our great God with whom we will abide forever. That's secure in Christ. But now, this time of service, as Peter says in his epistles, he says, the rest of our time to serve the Lord. The rest of our time. That's a term there. I don't have the passage. I can look it up for you when we're done. But he says there, the rest of our time. After He saved us, we have the rest of our time to use for Him. How will we do it? How will we use it in the service of our Lord? "If any man's work abide, which he hath built on this foundation of Christ, he shall receive a reward. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 verse 20. You know this passage. You're familiar with this. We want to take these things in time together. Matthew 6, verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Okay? See those two words there? Lay up. Have you ever wondered how to lay up treasure in heaven? We're real good about taking and laying up money in the bank when we got some. Doesn't stay there for long, but we know how to get that there, don't we? And if you got some left, you put it over in the savings account, we know how to lay that up, don't we? You know how maybe you've got a jar at home that you put money in for a certain thing that you're going to do. Maybe you lay up your change. When you get home from the day and you put your change in that jar, in that vessel, you know how to lay that up, right? You got some gift for somebody, and you go and you buy it, or you go get it, and you do, and you lay it up till it's time to give it to them. We understand about that laying up, don't we? But what about laying up treasure in heaven? Got a handle on that? You know, for a time, until it came down to the study for this message, I knew it was there, but I didn't understand it. How that is. But it is so because the Lord wouldn't tell us if it wasn't so. What about building on the foundation? We understand about building on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones. Only gold I own is this ring that I know of, what Clarissa has. I don't go buy gold to build anything at home. But there is a building that we do. Where is it? How is it? Because the Scripture's told us that it's so, right? A foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There is a building. There is a laying up in there. I think that they're related indeed. Back to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, that day in the future, that judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." Right? "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." The worst case is mentioned here. There is a foundation. Oh, and pray the building not be completely with wood, hay, and stubble. But because the foundation is secure, there can be a case where one is saved so as by fire, because a foundation won't burn, will it? No. We're secure in Christ. It has nothing to do with our eternity. The foundation is laid, and there's no other foundation laid than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is that possibility that we will suffer loss. And the way that we have built with wood, hay, and stubble will be burned away. And if it be that one only built with wood, hay, and stubble, all they have, and blessed it is to have that, is the foundation. But you know what? This is a concept that the Lord has shown me in the last year or so, and he does this for me. I don't want to seem to be bragging. It's not that I'm just thankful. But consider this. With a blessing, does it not bring responsibility? With a gift, does not there come responsibility? Isn't that concept in the Scriptures? With a gift comes responsibility. That's the way it is with us. With the gift of salvation has come a responsibility. It's that way. Because our Lord's a worker, amen? He's that way. No, not works for salvation, works because of salvation. James says, faith without a works is dead. Faith without working is dead. And so, there's this case that is mentioned here. The worst case in verse 15. Okay. Verse 12 of this same 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Let's back up a little bit. Now, if any man build, so there is this building. We've pointed that out. We've seen the building material. We've seen the laying up that's mentioned there in Matthew chapter 6. How is it that we build? How is it that we lay up? Is that a mystery to you? Is that a mystery? To understand how that is. As it is with the things of the Lord, what I naturally want to do is make things complicated. That's what I naturally want to do. I want to make things complicated. I've read these Scriptures in the past and wondered, how is it that I really do lay up? How is it that I really build? How do I make sure that I'm not building with the wrong materials, but know I'm building with the right materials and be assured of it? That's the way it was with me. And I trust it's not that way with you. I'm trusting that when we reveal this, you'll say, yeah, well, I knew that, and that's great. Praise the Lord for it. I'm thankful. I want to bring some other Scriptures to this. James chapter 1, and some Scriptures about what the Lord says about living life. Okay? This is stuff day-to-day-to-day things. This is instruction for day to day to day, living life. Okay? You and I, getting up, going home tonight, laying down our heads, doing whatever we do between now and then sleeping the night, getting up tomorrow and living life again. Oh, not supposed to be living life, we're supposed to be serving the Lord, right? Isn't that what Brother Paul's preached? James chapter 1, verse 2, you're familiar with this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Good ones, bad ones. This temptation is talking about trials. There is a temptation that comes from Satan and the world and the depravity of man that's a temptation always to sin. Okay? There's a difference. You see that later on down in the chapter, verse number 13. But this temptation here is talking about a trial. Was not Job tried? Mm-hmm. Was not the Apostle Paul tried in that infirmity in the flesh that he had, in the distresses that he went through? He was tried. His faith was tried. It's tried on this side, and then our works will be tried on that side. Okay? So the Scripture says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in these diverse temptations, knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting nothing. There's a growing and a trying in a temptation that happens here in this life. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to put these scriptures about living life together and draw from them how we build, how we lay up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." All right, there's temptations. There's trials. There's temptation or trials that the Lord may bring our way or allow to come our way to show and prove and strengthen our patience, to grow our patience, to grow our faith. There will always be in this flesh and in this wicked mind and from the world and from Satan a temptation to sin against God. They're there, aren't they? Those things are there. They're real. What did the Lord say? He won't ever let those be greater than we can escape. Okay. Isn't that the way research is? It always brings up more questions. How do you escape? How do you escape? What is that way of escape? I remember thinking that at a time. And praise the Lord for His Word. I mean, it's through the Word that the Lord just shows us and reveals things. The Lord's revealed things to you. And remember how when He does that, He blesses you so. It's just so good. What's the way of escape? When we're tempted, no temptation to sin against God, no trial that would come upon us, the Lord won't let either kinds of those be greater than we can bear, and He'll make a way of escape in all of them. What's the escape? It's simple. It's not complicated. Don't make it complicated. It's simple. Obedience. Obedience. Amen? It's obedience, isn't it? When the Lord brings something or allows something to come upon us, think about Job. Job obeyed, didn't he? He didn't bail out on the thing. He did not understand the thing, but he trusted himself and laid himself before the Lord. When we're tempted to sin, like the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the desert after 40 days of fasting, what did he do? He brought out the Word of God, didn't he? Obedience. That's the way of escape. Now, how do you know how to obey? Back to devotion. Amen. Got to have the Word of God. So, well, is this right or this wrong? The Scripture says that use and taking in of the Word is for the mature child of God to be able to take the Word of God and discern good and evil. That's the only, we don't have it in ourselves to discern good and evil. We got the Spirit of God living within, yes. But it's by the Word that we understand about obedience. You got to have this book in you for the Lord to have something to work with. Garen told you, you take that book and put it in you. The Spirit of God will move mighty in your life. Amen? But if we kind of hit and miss at it, don't build, don't evaluate ourselves from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and say, am I gaining in the Lord? Or am I becoming stagnant in the things of the Lord? Or am I going backwards in the things of the Lord? And the thing is, I liken my life to a bucket that's been shot with a shotgun, that any time the water of the Word gets poured in, it runs right out. But you know what? If water of the Word keeps getting poured in there, that old bucket's going to get cleaned up. It ain't going to hold water till I get out of this life. But it'll be cleaned up. I'll be thinking like the Lord if I give myself and yield myself to putting His Word in me. I'll give something for the Lord to use in me when that temptation, that trial, or that temptation to sin will come along. The Spirit of God will say, "Thus saith the Lord." Right? Okay. So we see that the way of escape is obedience. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, I'll read you this. "For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well you and suffer for it, you take it patiently, it is acceptable with God." Taking it on the chin When you haven't done a thing wrong, child of God, is just what the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's what that passage, and you read it, you can put that down, 1 Peter, and you can go read that yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It goes on to say that Jesus Christ did the same thing. He did no wrong. But He took it for me. It says that in doing so, He left us an example. That we too should be that way. Okay? So, trials, temptations to sin, a way of escape in obedience, okay? Suffering wrongfully is pleasing to God, okay? And then just another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to take these and put them together. Hold them in your mind. I know it's tired. I know it's late. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay? Don't touch that unclean stuff. Another instruction for the Lord. So, trials allowed or brought by God to try our faith, grow our patience, grow our faith in Him. Trials, temptations to sin that comes from this flesh and from Satan and the world system. Okay? God will make a way of escape. That way is obedience. How can we know obedience? By having the Word of God in us. Okay? And then, this point about suffering wrongfully, just like Jesus did. May God help us to follow that example. It's day-to-day living stuff, right? And then, come out from among them. Come out from among the world. And be separate. Don't touch that unclean thing. Like Job eschewed evil, right? He eschewed evil. When evil was here, Job went this way. When evil was here, Job went that way. He got away from it. He didn't go over there and go, I think I can handle that. No, he didn't do that, did he? No, he eschewed it. So how is it we build? How is it we lay up? You're going to do it in the next moment. Here, you can't compartmentalize it. You're building in every moment of your life. I'm building in every moment in my life. Somebody crosses me, my reaction will determine whether I build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You're going to build as you go home tonight. How cranky you get with that guy in front of you that isn't doing something to suit you. How cranky you get with your wife and how they don't do something to suit you. And sometimes there needs to be guidance, and sometimes there needs to be correction. Those things are right. But when we are there, discerning by the Word of God, what would the Lord Jesus Christ do in this life that I'm living? May God help us. Can you see the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? And oh, what a shame to go over here in the wheelbarrow and grab up some mud and some wood and go over there to the hay pile and the stubble pile and mix that slop together and slap it down on that foundation. It's a shame to our Lord, isn't it? It's a shame to my Lord when I do that. When I don't obey Him in every single moment of my life. When you come up to that stop sign out in the middle of the country and you stop because the government's put that stop sign there and we're to obey the law of the land as the children of God, and yes, nobody's watching, but God's watching, isn't He? Wood, hay, or stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. God says go far that when you're treated wrong, endure it well. Like Jesus did. That's the example. Wood, hay, stubble. Oh, been obeying the Lord. And here's a sideline, and we don't have time. There is this thing of legalism that's claimed today. Oh, you're just being legalistic. Legalism has everything to do. That subject of legalism is talking about whether a person can be saved, a soul can be saved by anything they can do. We in salvation are called to service. We are called to run the race according to the way that God has said to. Not out of a obligation. It's a fine line. Not out of obligation, but out of love, constraining us to want to obey our Savior, to want to be like Christ, to want to be a good Bible that some sinners around us may read, having never read the Scripture otherwise. Amen? Wood, hay, stubble. Oh, and then we got that slop. I think about the birds, the way they build nests. I think about the adobe structures, right? I think about the children of Israel getting straw and slime and making bricks, right? Wood, hay, stubble. And then you go put some gold, silver, precious stones on top of that. What a shame. How is it that we build? Well, we build in our being and in our body. It starts in our mind with our thoughts, our attitudes. We can even have fornication and adultery in our hearts. And not even with the sensual things of this flesh, but fornication from the standpoint of going away from God because of covetousness. When you take a look at the Ten Commandments, the first nine, aren't they about wanting something that we don't have? Think about them. Think about every single one of them. We want something. That's the reason the last one is about covetousness. Lasciviousness and how it starts. Covetousness and such. In our being, the way that we live with our eyes. Looking at things that we should not. Things we watch. Nakedness and pornography that prevails in the world. Anytime you see the word fornication in the Scripture, it's the root word porneia or some relation to it. There's about three or four of those words. We go a whoring after God, after other things. I know that's a strong word, but that's what that's talking about. And we can do it in other ways other than physically. Devilish things, sorcery. You know, they burned that stuff at Ephesus when people got saved. The mind and the eyes are that which we if we allow, can lead us to this covetousness. The ears, the same way, through the eye gate, through the ear gate. How is it we build on the foundation? How is it we lay up? The living of every moment of life for the Lord. How do we do so? By the knowledge of His Word. So when a thing comes at us, we know if it's good or evil. We know what the right thing is to do. We seek the Lord's face and direction in it. With our mouth. With our mind, with our eyes, with our ears, with our mouth. The Scripture says in James that we can bless God and curse man just like that. And it ought not to be. Good springs don't bring out bitter water. Good trees don't bear bad fruit. Building on the foundation. Taking the Lord's name in vain. Murmuring in a bad way. Murmuring and complaining about things. Chiding against the Lord about things. Our mouth is how joy is expressed, isn't it? You know I'm happy by the way I smile. You know I'm sad when my corners hang down, don't you? Isn't that something how the mouth tells about us? Our mouth is how joy is expressed. The people of the Lord are to be rejoicing a lot, aren't we? How are we building on the foundation? How are we laying up treasure in heaven? With the neck, just considering about the body, the mind, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the neck. Is my neck stiff? I'm building with wood, hay, and stubble. I will not yield to the Lord. I will not submit. Submission is one of those it's that universal thing in service. Submission. Submission. Submission to the Lord. With my hands. How do I use my hands? Do I use my hands to build with wood, hay, and stubble? Or do I use them pleasing to the Lord? My body. My body, is it given for fornication? Is it so prevalent amongst the Corinthians. They had come from a worship that pagan worship of Roman and Greek gods, that part of their worship was their fornication with one another. And they were warned often about that. We've been blessed in our day that in this church, I know those things are not there, but yet we have those things of the heart and the mind that we deal with, right? We're truthful with ourselves. The brother pointed out about how the Lord calls us to yield these bodies a living sacrifice, not just on the Lord's day, but every moment of life, to build on the foundation with God's good building material. Adultery, going places with this body that we should not. Nakedness again, taking our clothes off or not wearing that which was modest and to cover up our nakedness. Missing the Lord's services with our body. I'm there with you in spirit. It'll only go so far, won't it? The Apostle Paul said he was with some people in spirit. But when we're members of a body and we're not there, I tell you what, I wouldn't function the same without my knees. And when the Lord's body's not there, we miss Him, don't we? I'm glad to be here with you all, but I'm missing the folks there at Olmsted tonight. Missing the Lord's services and regular services, special services, and prayer class. Not working to find that place in the church. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Then our feet and this consideration of our body. Our feet take our body where it should and should not be, don't they? Our feet take our body where it should be sometimes and where it shouldn't be at other times. When we build with wood, hay, and stubble, we're sinning, folks. That's the bottom line. Building with wood, hay, and stubble is when we're sinning. It's going to be burned up. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what? That can happen to us. We can get used to doing a thing, callousing a thing, and lose our sensitivity in an area. And every time that area comes up, we're slapping down wood, hay, stubble, mud, and trash on the foundation. Bad attitudes, cold heart, hard heart, apathy. May the Lord help us to see how to build right. Amen. May the Lord help us to see how to lay up true treasure in heaven. Finding that way of escape through obedience. Knowing the Word of God and feeding upon it. Walking humbly with our God. Isn't that what we're called to do? To walk humbly with our God? What's that humbly mean? If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Humility comes, folks, from us knowing and expressing to God that we need Him. That's humility. Humility is not a mystery about how can you find humility. How can you find the way of escape? The way of escape is obedience. The building on the foundation is obedience to the Lord in every whit, in every moment, in everything. Humility is needing God. Needing God to work on me. One of our church members, one of the church members there at Olmsted, they sign off their emails, "He's still working on me." And you know what? I need Him to work on me. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have a foundation. You're building a house, the house of your life, but you don't have a foundation. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ wraps it up by saying these words. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 26. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're building a house of your life, but you're not building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no foundation. And I tell you what, you desperately need a foundation. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, salvation does not come by works. But all of these things that the Lord has preached in this Sermon on the Mount are bringing us to the point of seeing that our problem is with our heart. with our soul, with our deadness. The Lord has given this dissertation on the Sermon on the Mount, telling and putting out what men think, and then telling expressly what God thinks, the way God believes. Okay? And with the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing always is what He came preaching in His ministry, repent and believe the gospel. If you don't have a right relationship with the Lord, you can't serve Him, you can't follow Him, you can't understand Him. But He says, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? It wasn't built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, build well. Build with the building material that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided through His Word, through obedience, through service to Him, through a right relationship and walk with Him. You that are here and not saved, you need that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. He'll save your soul, and then you can build right. Then you can build eternally. Then you can build well. Brother Wayne.